Well, I'm joined by Chris Carey, and I always say this is one of my favorite segments, Classic Pick, because I always say what's wrong with streaming services? It's lack of liner notes. There's a great story to every record that's ever come out. So, Chris, what's our classic pick this week?
Well, yeah, our classic pick this week is, and actually it's one of my favorite albums from the 80s, is The Police Synchronicity. It was their fifth and final studio album. It came out on this day, 1983, 36 years ago. This was, I mean, by the time they came out with Synchronicity, The Police were already pretty huge. But this album sent them into the upper stratosphere of rock superstardom, and mostly it's because it was a monster album. It sold 8 million copies. There were four singles that were top 10 hits, and it won 2 Grammys. I mean, it was a pretty major album, and anybody that's roughly my late 40s, early 50s will remember that it was hard not to see a Police video on MTV if you watched it for like longer than 30 minutes.
It was ubiquitous. I say this is the album that took them from arenas to stadiums.
Oh yeah, yeah, stadiums. I mean, and they were huge. And then within a year of this huge album coming out, they break up and went their different ways. It's interesting because like this too is really cool about this album is a lot of their earlier albums were had the new wave reggae influence that was very common in very common within new wave and post-punk circles in the UK in the late 70s. And I love those early albums that have those reggae kind of punk and post-punk influences, but they kind of left those away and started integrating a lot more jazz and some other world influences in this record. And you can kind of see on a couple of these songs, like Tea in the Sahara, you can kind of see where Sting is going and his first couple of solo albums, which I think are still very good. He's kind of doing the same sort of thing on a lot of those songs.
I think you're right. You kind of hear the beginning of Sting's contemporary music with this stuff. And so often, you know, I always thought of them with Stuart Copeland playing those reggae beats. And I think when you have really talented musicians, they reach a point where they've done a whole bunch. They want to do something different. And so many times as a fan, you're disappointed when they come out with something different. I think this was one of those instances where they really showed all of their chops musically, kind of showed they can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. And I think, but on the flip side of that, where it does sometimes disappoint their fans, I don't think it did here. And I mean, like I said, this album was huge commercially and critically. All the critics on both sides of the Atlantic loved it. And like I said, that how many records they sold. And I looked it up actually, and I was just talking to my coworkers about this because I found it very interesting. Is that the Police put out 5 albums, and all 5 of them went platinum. And then it begged the question is how many bands have done this? And I haven't done an exhaustive survey, but it's surprising how few huge bands that you think maybe would have done it had done it. I mean, there's some people like Led Zeppelin and the Eagles that did that, and Madonna did it, and Garth Brooks did it. But there's other bands like the Rolling Stones didn't do it, Pink Floyd didn't do it, Michael Jackson didn't do it. So it's kind of, granted, some of these artists had a lot more albums, but it's still pretty, it says something to the fact that these guys came on the scene huge and left about as big as a rock band could be. And there was even a couple of critics at the time that referred to the Police as the biggest band in the world. And they were, you know, in 83, 84.
Yeah, if you think about it, with only 5 discs, there's really a huge number of tunes that we all know as Police songs. It's really, every one of those discs was amazingly deep.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get into a little bit about the background of this album. And what I've always liked about the Police is I like bands that are really literal, or literary, I should say. And there's a lot of literary references throughout the Police catalog. But the title of this album, Synchronicity, is actually based on Carl Jung's definition and how it was discussed in a book called The Roots of Confidence by Arthur Koestler. And so in that book is about parapsychology and ESP and stuff. And that's what the title of this album is about. And actually Ghost in the Machine, the previous album, was actually based on a Koestler title as well. So, I mean, Sting read a lot, you know, and there's several other literary references on this album. Another cool thing that I wanted to talk about is this was the second album that was co-produced with Hugh Padgham. And Padgham, he co-produced this album and Ghost in the Machine with The Police. The previous albums were done with Nigel Gray, except the debut album was just The Police who produced it. Anyway, Hugh Padgham, for those of you who don't know, he was kind of a, He's a huge producer. He's worked with lots of people like Peter Gabriel and Hall & Oates and Genesis and Kate Bush, Paul McCartney, David Bowie. He's worked with tons of people. But what really struck me that I thought was really interesting, he came up with what's called the gated drum sound. And I won't go into the real details. I'm sure there's some people out there that understand it. And it's kind of it's a technical term on how they worked studio effects into to get a drum sound, but it's basically was the sound of the drums in the 1980s. And the first example, the first real example of this that was a huge hit was he recorded In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, and that drum sound is the gated drum sound that kind of so Phil Padgham's kind of responsible for the sound of drums in the 1980s. Anyway, this was the second album with him, and like I said, critically, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. Everywhere, everybody loved him. And they've ended up, this album's been on, is like on virtually every best of list of all time. And I think rightly so.
It's truly the definition of going out on a high note. I love the story that they were potentially going to get together and do another record. They had scheduled some time to go jam. And then the night before, Stuart Copeland fell off a horse and broke his collarbone. And they kind of canceled it all out and never said they were going to get together again. That was
I think they just had so many irons in the fire that they just kept doing other things. And we were talking briefly before we came on the air. Another interesting aspect about this was the cover art. There were 36 different covers of this, which they all were different versions of black and white photos with the primary colors kind of over them, the red, blue, and yellow. But I thought that was kind of fascinating. 36. I mean, there's been other bands that did this. Like, I know Zeppelin did it with In Through the Outdoor. I think there was 5 or 6 different versions of that you could get. But, I mean, 36 is kind of nuts.
Yeah, I think Yes 90215 did something similar to that. And they came out about the same time. I think it's a great example. You know, at the time, I thought, maybe a little gimmicky. They think people are going to buy all these records. And I realize now as I get older, if you give artists any sort of angle to create anything creative or do it different with their record, they're going to jump out and try it. I'm guessing somebody in the band heard, you know what, if you could potentially do this and be creative with it.
Yeah, maybe so. But I could go on forever about this album and the Police in general, because I personally love this band. But I wanted to play at least today one of the big singles on the album, and it's one of my favorite Police songs, Wrapped Around Your Finger. And the neat thing here too is the literary thing. There's two particular things in this album that I've always thought was pretty cool. He mentions Mephistopheles, which is of course the demon or devil who makes the bargain with Faust when he sells his soul, which I thought that's kind of cool. And then he also mentions the Scylla and Charybdis, which are the two monsters that supposedly they lived according to Greek mythology in the Straits of Messina between Sicily and Italy, and that kind of is became metaphor for like between a rock and a hard place, or between the devil and the deep blue sea. But anyway, I love bands in general that have literary references.
It just shows you Sting was pretty deep. They were all pretty deep, and really a fantastic pick. I know just about everybody loves this disc. So Synchronicity, our classic pick of the week. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear Wrapped Around Your Finger right here on the home stretch.